The views expressed on the following program are the views of the show's host and do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station, their management, their donors, their underwriters, nor their seventh-born sons. You are listening to Free Radio Olympia, 91.9 FM. It is time for the Thunderbolt. And at the Thunderbolt, we believe in just saying no to boring public affairs programming. The Thunderbolt. Faster than a speeding bullet point. More powerful than multi-gigabyte bandwidth. Able to leap mixed metaphors in a single bound. Defending truth, justice, and the un-American way. Boldly going where no hack radio show has ever gone before. The Thunderbolt airs every Saturday at noon right here on Free Radio Olympia. Listen at your own risk. All right, and welcome to the Thunderbolt for May 28th, 2021. This week's archive radio show originally aired on April 5th of 2019. Enjoy.
This fall, a new sitcom set in Milwaukee about two wacky people and the governor they own. Get ready for Charles and David.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Schlemiel, Schlemazel, Coke Industries Incorporated.
Give us any fact, we'll fake it. Give us any law, we'll break it. We're gonna make our extremes come true. Do it a Coke way, not just climate change deniers. We're right-wing nut suppliers. We're gonna make our memes come true. Do it a Coke way, there's no one we won't buy. Walker, Christie, even Herman Cain this time. There's no Coke blocking us. We make our own truth.
We've got the front groups.
We come off like all shuckers, but we're two rich Coke suckers. We're gonna buy all your dreams, that's true. And we'll do it Coke way, yes, Coke way. Turn government into a joke. We'll do it Coke way, yes, Coke way. Make the whole country go broke for Coke and Coke.
This fall, Charles and David, two kooky billionaires, try to make it on their own to Wisconsin. It's a tea party of fun. Check listings. Local crimes may vary.
Del desierto de Sonora, Tucson, Arizona, Avenida Feliz para el mundo.
Hey, kids. Welcome to the Thunderbolt. You know, after all of my decades of collected wisdom acquired from living so unconventionally, I will now share with you some sage advice. You should never fail to not disbelieve whatever doesn't not happen next. And you should always be prepared to be unprepared. Yes, kids, just remember those two things. And you should be able to equitably deal with whatever the universe might throw at you. For instance, already, I am seeing people demonizing any protest votes. People may register against the officially designated candidate that the Democrats will give us for the next election. Evidently, their theory is that we need to keep electing the same people over and over again, because those people have been doing such a bang-up job of things so far. If the Democrats don't want any protest votes, then they should stop providing us with lying corporate fascists who support endless interventionist wars and who support the NSA spying on our grandmothers and who support mass murdering women and children in the Middle East with remote-controlled flying robots. That is, if the Democrats don't want any protest votes in their next election. Yeah, well, good luck with that. And in another instance, Nancy Pelosi is criticizing Nicolas Maduro for, quote, personally profiting, unquote, from his public position. Well, over the decades, Nancy Pelosi has leveraged her relatively meager congressional salary into a multi-million dollar fortune. And in fact, the main reason Nancy Pelosi is still the leader of the House Democrats in spite of their spectacular fall from power during her reign, almost solely due to Nancy Pelosi's ability to raise large amounts of cash. At what price, though? It is beginning to appear as if humanity may not even survive the middle of this century. But if by some miracle something does come along to save us from ourselves, then we could possibly be hanging out for quite some time afterward. With medical advances, we will soon be living a lot longer than we are now, and we will be living a lot healthier than we are now. And as long as some AI quantum computer doesn't decide that it doesn't need humanity anymore and decides to get rid of us, then we're likely to continue with our explorations of the universe far into the future. However, when it comes to truly long-term survival, then I am afraid the sun gets the final say about life on Earth, for the sun is slowly getting hotter and bigger. And in about 1.1 billion years, the sun will make the Earth uninhabitable for life of any kind. And in about 3 billion years, the sun will envelop and utterly destroy the Earth completely. So on this one thing, I find myself in agreement with Elon Musk. If we want to survive truly long term, then we need to expand to other planets. And it so happens that just as I was typing the article for this Thunderbolt, the program Exploration with Michio Kaku came on the radio, and he started his show off by reporting that they have finally found an Earth-like planet in another solar system. Evidently, it's about 40 light years away. Let me know when it's time to pack my bags. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, and various permutations thereof, it's time for the big event that you've all been waiting for. It's time for the Irony of the Week. So, what is the Irony of the Week this week, Mr. Thunderbolt? Our irony this week is that while Jeff Bezos and Mark Zuckerberg have arguably done more to destroy personal privacy than any other two humans in all of human history, when speaking with congressional investigators, Mr. Zuckerberg refused to reveal what hotel he had stayed at the previous night, and he refused to share his personal messages with the investigators. And now Mr. Bezos is bitterly complaining because his own privacy has been invaded by the National Enquirer, who evidently has obtained some dirty pictures of Mr. Bezos with his mistress, both of whom are married to other people. So let's cry them a river, why don't we? And as for Mark Zuckerberg, I wish someone would find some serious dirt on that dude. Facebook is now flat out deplatforming, quote unquote, a whole bunch of people. There were over 800 pages taken down at the same time during the month of October. And many others are also in their crosshairs. And rather than targeting fake news or disinformation, which is their claim, they are instead actually focusing upon anyone that puts out any information that the government does not like. Now remember, Mark Zuckerberg got his seed funding from NQTEL, which is the venture capital arm of the CIA. And Zuckerberg just loves hobnobbing with state security heavies. Facebook is focusing especially upon far left and libertarian pages, anti-war voices, and police monitoring or police accountability sites are also being targeted. In the Now is the latest alternative media outlet to be taken down by Facebook. And in this case, Facebook cooperated with CNN. They said they took the page down because In the Now failed to reveal its finances, even though many others, including CNN, evidently are not required to do this. Now, Consortium News is a peer news outlet operated by professional and respected journalists. Yet their Facebook page was also taken down. The Free Thought Project's page was taken down, even though they had millions of likes. And Truthdig is yet another kick-ass alternative media outlet that Facebook has tried to censor. But they were forced to back down when Truthdig reported on their own censorship and Facebook received a serious blowback. However, Truthdig has many tens of thousands of readers. Most other alternative media outlets, including the Thunderbolt, do not have that kind of juice. If the Thunderbolt wielded enough influence, I am sure that Facebook would take down my page as well. Even though this is still America after all, I do have the right to free speech as long as no one listens to what I say. And on a related side note, when Facebook began encouraging people to pay to boost your post, and when I refused to pay Facebook to boost my post, then engagements with my Thunderbolt Facebook page went from 50 to 60 per week to 5 or 6 per week. And in addition, a well-known political operative named Jamie Fly, a senior director of the German Marshall Fund, is evidently working with Facebook on their censorship campaign, and Mr. Fly is claiming responsibility for many of these purges. In further addition, Mr. Fly said, "We're just getting started." Now, the German Marshall Fund is a think tank, and the German Marshall Fund is one of the main pushers of Russiagate, wherein they are sending everyone chasing after the tails of ephemeral Russian straw dogs, rather than actually dealing with the actual apocalyptic reality that is staring us right in our faces. The German Marshall Fund accuses anyone who criticizes establishment Democrats of being tools of the Russians, and anyone who criticizes Israel of being anti-Semitic. And the German Marshall Fund is one of the main disseminators of hysterical propaganda concerning Jeremy Corbyn, accusing him of being both a Russian tool and anti-Semitic. Mr. Fly also thinks that the United States should militarily invade both Syria and Iran. The German Marshall Fund is a Cold War relic that was formed to foster cooperation between the United States and Europe. And the German Marshall Fund receives much of its funding from the American government, the German government, and from NATO. And so this means that government funds are literally being used now to censor people on Facebook. And this is a lot bigger than just Facebook. Jeff Bezos purchased the Washington Post at the very same time that he was inking a $600 million contract with the Central Intelligence Agency. And as with Facebook, both Google and Amazon are also basically extensions of the corporate police surveillance state. There are think tanks galore, and there are waves of right-wing neocon money flowing into their nonstop efforts to impose a reality upon the public that is not only not real, but it is literally insane. And that is why such a reprehensible caricature of a bad joke such as Donald Trump could be elected president. And now it's the time you've all been waiting for. Yes, we're gonna roll a few rockers and rock a few rollers, because the toothless old grandpa has returned from his vacation, and he's not only ready to rock and roll, but when he's done, he's ready to rock again. Yes, kids, here he is. Well, hey, Grandpa, so how's it hanging?
Well, I have been in an undisclosed location, engaged in activities about which I cannot speak.
Gee, Grandpa, it sounds like you've been working for the CIA or something.
No, actually, it was more along the lines of sun-drenched beaches, young females, and mind-altering substances.
Grandpa, you dog, you.
Son, you wimp, you.
Yeah, right. So, what do you have for us this week, Grandpa?
Well, let me grab the main microphone here. It turns out that vampires may have had it right all along. It turns out there may be scientific foundations for the perpetual youth that vampires are so famous for. For it seems that transfusions of the blood from teenagers and youth may have some serious life-extending properties. And that's not all. Such transfusions may also make you much healthier as you age. And these transfusions may even cure a few conditions that had formerly been considered to be chronic.
Yesterday is gone forever, turning back the clock. In the end, all is sinful, no need to bear the pain.
There's been some exciting preliminary research in mice where scientists have stitched a young mouse together with an old mouse.
This time, I am low. I know you've been betrayed.
They did it.
For men's words, I'm giving life.
So that their circulatory system were pumping the same blood. Through each other's veins. And this made the tissue stronger in the older mice. It repaired spinal cord damage. It prompted new brain cells to grow. It even makes their fur shinier. Really? Gee, I could stand to have a little more shine to my own fur these days. There are critics of this research, especially since it is being largely funded by Peter Thiel's desire to live forever.
Every day, take the souls I have done and burn them in my name.
as I don't have to go around stitched to my granddaughter, and as long as I don't need to have any fangs dentally implanted into my head, and as long as I don't have to go live in Forks, Washington, with their 200 inches of rain every year, then sign me up.
So if we've discovered a new planet to live on, then we could start a new club called Vampires for Extraterrestrial Colonization. Grandpa, I've got to say, you are very much what you are.
Well, thank you, son. And I've got to say that you is very much what you is.
Why, thank you. I think. And we are going to take a quick station break. The Thunderbolt will return in just a moment. The views expressed on this program are strictly those of the show's producers and do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station nor anyone associated with this radio station. And now, back to the Thunderbolt. I recently came across a FaceCrack post wherein people were complaining about the homeless encampments downtown. It was all the usual trash, feces, hypodermic needles, health risks, unsightliness, and lack of human decency displayed by so many of downtown's houseless denizens. It seems to me that housed people produce trash and drugs and needles and feces and various health risks as well. So it seems to me that the problem is not that the unhoused are doing all those things. The problem is that they don't have anywhere to do all of those things. Yes, kids, people do not happen in a vacuum. Trauma produces traumatized people. A lot of those folks living in those tents have seen very little human decency in their lives. And so, yes, human decency often carries little priority with them. Our culture takes large numbers of people and puts their souls through a frigging meat grinder. And then it blames them when they come out of it all ground up. In addition, the vast majority of homeless people create no problems and you never even see them. A lot of them have jobs. A lot of them have children. Call the Olympia School District and ask them. I'm pretty sure you'll be shocked. And even our homeless denizens that are problematic, I can guarantee you that those critics know nothing of who those people are, and they know nothing of where those folks have been, and they know nothing of the forces that created them. So I really do wish they would take their privileged white person morals and condescending personal judgments that are being made as they sit in their safe, warm homes, and whilst speaking of people who are often wet and cold and in a desperate struggle for mere survival. And as far as I'm concerned, they can take those judgments
stick them somewhere that never experiences direct sunlight. Fix the damned problem. Stop blaming the victims.
The Greeks are usually credited with inventing democracy. There is some debate about that, and regardless whether or not they invented it, well, they did indeed have a government with some democratic aspects to it. We must always keep in mind that Greece was yet a slave society. It was patriarchal. It was violent and warlike. It was xenophobic, and it was elitist. When it came to gods, though, the Greeks had it down. Athena, for instance, was a Greek goddess of war and macrame, two very handy skills. It was Athena, in fact, that taught spiders how to weave their webs. I'll bet you didn't know that. Athena also happens to be my personal favorite when it comes to deities. Athena came from a very illustrious family. She was the daughter of Zeus himself, for instance. And amongst her many siblings were people such as Aphrodite, Apollo, Dionysus, and even Helen of Troy. Gee, I wonder what their dinner conversations were like. Athena also tended to provide her divine support to heroes who were engaged in just and noble causes. Which is another thing I really like about her. She was also prized for her intelligence and fairness. And she was also, of course, rumored to be epically hot. Yowch! And if humans marrying Greek gods didn't almost always end up with the human dying horribly or suffering some insane torture for the rest of eternity, then I might be trying to track down Athena's phone number. I should definitely be careful about what I wish for, though. Because Athena was also fully capable of unleashing some pretty serious violence. However, here's the thing. Athena's violence was never gratuitous. She always deployed violence very strategically, and she always applied it with very strict discipline. Athena's favorite weapon was, in fact, her shield. In addition,
addition to her many other extraordinary siblings, Athena also had a brother named Ares. And Ares was also a god of war. However, Ares was a god of a much different sort than his sister. For Ares basically represented the very embodiment of senseless mass slaughter. Ares and his sons were, in fact, a psychopathic gang of mass murderers. They were also fond of doing stuff like tying someone up under a blazing sun for eternity with ants constantly eating their face. Or something else equally reprehensible. The Ares gang was described by others as being overwhelming, insatiable in battle, destructive, and man-slaughtering. Ares' sons, Phobos, or fear, and Deimos, or terror, along with his lover Enyo, discord, usually accompanied Ares on his war chariot as they descended like rolling thunder, sowing death and destruction upon an endless multitude of hapless victims. Yes, rather than a shield, Ares' preferred weapon of choice was a battle axe. I wonder how often Ares and his sons showed up for dinner. Athena and her sidekick Heracles were constantly thwarting the Ares gang's evil plots. And Heracles totally kicked Ares' ass a couple of times. I think that what the Greeks were trying to tell us is that we need Athena to counter Ares. The fact that Ares is a man, while Athena is a woman, I think is also significant to this analogy. Anyway, I mention all of this because I like to flatter myself by considering the thunderbolt to be a small component of Athena's shield. All right, so that's it for the news and commentary section this week. I'm going to pull out the rest of the hour with some music. This week I'm going to feature some people that I've actually known and played music with. This is Danny Kelly from right here in Olympia.
Just like little drops of water, dripping one drop at a time. Well, it filled my young head right up with a message. There just ain't no use in trying. So I watched the nation fall asleep, shut down, and then go blind. Well, as we all watched those that spoke the truth out loud get a bullet from behind. But those that died, they taught me well, so my road's been paved. So I declare I will not be some kind of voluntary slave. It's, yeah, I've been deep asleep, dreaming fear, stopped dead in my tracks. But now I'm waking up, I am not afraid, and I'm not turning back. Like Medgar Evers, Elizabeth Cady Stanton, and St. Martin Luther King, and all those many other good, brave people who gave their whole lives just to keep that freedom ringing. How dare you, how dare I not just burn to give it back? As our whole wide world just turns to shit as we lie on our backs. So I will scream and shout and sing out loud the truth as I see fit. I will not be silent, I will not lay down. Oh no, I will never quit. Cause yeah, I've been deep asleep, not a peep, fade to black. But now I'm waking up, I am not afraid, and I'm not turning back. Washington, drive us all to kingdom come, speeding tires screech and squeal, half driving drunk on greed and power, the other half just sleeping at the wheel. Driving crazy, they're driving blind, they drive us into war. Well, hey, I want out, you know I want no part. Yeah, I'm flying out the door. Up and over walls and fences, I will not stay inside the lines. Cause just like Woody Guthrie told us, this land is your land and it is mine. Cause yeah, I've been deep asleep among the counted sheep, sleepwalking with the pack. But now I'm wide awake, and I am not afraid, and I am not turning back. No, I am not afraid, and I am not alone, and I am not turning back. Thank you.
tremors to the north. The swirling winds of change soon unleash their force. Don't be fooled by sunny skies when you're safe and warm. We're running out of time in the calm before the storm. And it's so hard.
All right. That was The Calm Before the Storm from One Seed. Before that, we had Dancing Arpeggios from Bryant Jones. And we started off that set with the Declaration of Independence from Danny Kelly. That's it for this week. Hope you enjoy the show. I have 6 more minutes for some of you, but otherwise, we're out of here. I hope you enjoy listening as much as I love making these. And in the meanwhile, the views expressed on the Thunderbolt are those of the show's host and do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station or anyone associated with this radio station. The Thunderbolt website is dana98501.wordpress.com. 98501 is the downtown Olympia zip code, if that helps you remember that. And you can contribute to the Thunderbolt cause at patreon.com/thethunderbolt. Glad you joined us this week. We hope to see you next week. And in the meanwhile...
Thank you very much.